Bibles. Everybody's got a Bible. Get your Bible. I hope you got one. I hope you bring one. And turn to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. Now, won't you listen up, pay attention, and I want you to think about something for a minute. If Jesus was here tonight, sitting beside of you, what and how would you behave? What would you do if the Lord was here and you knew he was present? How would you treat him if he said something to you? How important would his word be? In his word is life. When he asked Peter and some of the other apostles, would they go away too? They said, where should we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. How important is his word? The Bible you hold in your lap, how important is that to you? How do you look upon the word of God? When it's being preached, how do you behave? Do you sit back there and talk to each other? Do you pass things around? Do you ignore it? How important is a preaching of the word? I was always very fearful in preaching. And when God called me, it scared me to death. And I told him I couldn't do it. But he assured me that we could all do, with his help, what he asked us to do. But then I found out the value, because when I first started preaching, I used to think that I had to find something new and I had to look in something deep. Then I realized it wasn't me, it was the word. My job was just preach the word and let the word do the work. And what we do is sometimes, I've sat and I've listened to some people preach the whole message and never use one scripture. Anytime that we depend upon man versus God's word, we're going to fail. And tonight, I want to take you a few moments, and I want you to look at the value of the written word of God. And I want to compare the written word to the incarnated word. You know what I mean? You young people know what I mean when I say incarnated, don't you? That's when God come down and was born through a channel of a virgin, and God walked upon the earth as man in the form of Jesus, the one we call Jesus. Now, the Bible says something about Jesus in the book of John, 1 John over there. He said that there's three that bear witness, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Son of God is referred to as a Word many times. The word that the term of Greek that they use for the word is logos. And so here the Bible tells us something about this word. Let's begin reading chapter 1, verse number 1. Now it's important to keep in mind, John starts his gospel to show that Jesus was truly the Son of God. That's why the miracles and all the things are in John, that's in John. And that's why he begins his from the very beginning that Jesus was always with us from the very start. And he wasn't like the Jehovah's Witnesses try to teach. that he was a created being, a created son of God. He was a son of God. Always has been. He's God. Amen? Now, begin reading, if you would, in verse 1 of chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us and help us, Lord, as we get into the Word of God. Let us understand the importance of the Word. And Lord, take note of the Word of God. We ask you just move on our heart. And if there be those here that's not saved, dear Heavenly Father, that something be said, that the Holy Spirit of God would take the Word and would show them the truth, and Lord, convict their hearts and draw them, Lord, to come to the saving cross of Calvary, where Jesus died for their sins. Let them realize, Lord, that he died to be their Savior, but they must be willing to come unto him. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Now, let me say this. Now, listen up a moment. It's awful easy to get all caught up in some things in the day in which we live. The Bible says that there are going to be false prophets during these days. There are going to be false Christs that comes. And let me tell you something else. There's going to be false texts that comes. There's a lot of false texts that claims to have Bible written on the outside, but they're false texts. They've gone away from the truth of the Word of God. Now tonight I want to look and I want you to understand the importance of having your authority as the Bible. Otherwise your authority rests upon men and men's philosophy. Don't ever trust men for that. But I want you to turn in your Bibles and have your Bibles and keep your finger there in John. And I want to take you a few places. I want to show you a couple of things about it. Now let me say before I start, I believe, and I make no apologies, I believe the Bible is inerrant. You know what inerrant means? There's not an error in it. Not one mistake. It's infallible. In other words, what it says cannot keep from coming to pass. Nobody, nothing can keep the Word of God from happening. God has already, through Genesis Revelation, he showed us his plan. And therefore, it is going to happen just the way he said it's going to happen. And heaven and earth and all hell moving against it cannot change it. So you need to understand the importance of the Word of God. If you want to know what's going to happen, if you want to understand and make sense out of everything going on, you get into the Word of God. It's just like we preached Sunday night about what causes a murderer to be a murderer. And we know that from the Word of God. And we're able to get into the Word of God. And everyone has that potential in them unless they're changed by God and moved upon God and so forth. But let's look and so forth. And I want to show you tonight this Bible, the Word. I want to show you the Bible gives it attributes just like it gives the Son of God attributes. And some of the same attributes that Jesus had, it attributes to this Bible. And I want us to look as we go. First of all, I want you to notice the Bible says in verse 1, in the beginning. In other words, Jesus was eternal. In the beginning, he was there. And when the Bible says everything that was made by him. When he said, and he said, let us make a man after our image, Jesus was the creator. And therefore, we know in Colossians that the Bible says everything was created by him and for him. And so therefore, we know that he is eternal. And so when you look at the incarnated word, you look at God. Look, if you would, in Psalms chapter 90. Now turn quick, because I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I got a lot of places to go. Psalms 90 in verse number 1. Psalms 90 verse number 1 says this. It says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in what? All generations before the mountains were brought forth, and ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art what? God. Thou sayest man to destruction, and sayest return ye children of men. In other words, God has always been. He's eternal. Not only is the incarnated word eternal, not only was Jesus from the beginning, and the Bible says that he became flesh and dwelt among us, but if you look in Psalms chapter 119, Psalms chapter 119, the Bible has much to say about the word of God, but notice verse number 89. In verse 89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is what? Settled in heaven. The word of God consists in heaven. The Bible says, heaven and earth may pass away in Matthew 24, but the word of God abideth forever. Look, if you would, in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1. I told you I'm going to turn you quite a bit. The Bible says in verse 23 of 1 Peter chapter 1, being born not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the what? Word of God, which what? Liveth and abideth for how long? Listen, did you know this word is eternal? Look on if you would. In verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, all glory of man, as a flower of grass, the grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth for what? How long? Forever. And this is a word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Did you know that the word of God is settled in heaven and nobody can change it and it will last forever? And when you stand before God, the Bible says Jesus came not into the world, condemned the world, to judge the world, but the word that he spoke, it shall judge you in the last day. This word that you hold in your lap is going to judge you. So you better get into the word. You better know what the Bible says. You say, well, if I don't read it, I'm not guilty. You're already guilty. You're already condemned. You better get in it and find out how not to be condemned. You better get in it and you better know what it says. It's eternal. It's not going to change. People said, well, we need to write a new Bible. We need to write one that's more feminine and where we make God a she. You better not be messing the Word of God. The Bible says he'll add to you the plagues that's written in the book, and he'll take away your name out of the book of life. I don't want to mess with the Word of God. I read someone who helped make the one that they use so much in so many of these churches, NIV. And he said on the committee that did that, and he wrote afterwards, he said, I made a terrible mistake. I wish I'd come back and change it. I realized that it was a work of the devil. I'll tell you what. When God used King James and he authorized all those scholars to sit and to work together and cross reference over and over and over all the words and use the text that aligns with the old manuscripts that they found and so forth. When he did that, he provided the English people the Word of God. I can tell you something about this King James Bible. When you preach it, it's got some power in it. It's got some life in it, amen? And I believe it to be, for the English-speaking people, the Word of God. I believe that. Now, I've heard some people say, well, I believe all of them contains the Word of God. I said, what do you mean contains? Well, some of it's the Word of God, some of it's other things. I said, well, which one's the Word of God and which one's not? Well, I don't know for sure. I said, well, then I don't want it. Either it's all going to be the Word of God or it's not going to be. I want the Word of God. When I preach, I want to preach the Word of God. I don't want to preach my word. I don't want to preach somebody else's word. I want to preach the Word of God. Amen? Now look here. So first of all, you need to understand that it's eternal. Next, you need to understand that it's ever present. Look if you would in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 13. The Bible says something about Jesus. The Bible says the Word was God. We read there in John chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 13, look in verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and what?
Forever.
Forever. In other words, he's not going to change. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter number 1. In chapter number 1. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. In other words, Jesus is not going to change. Now, I know that he come down as man and became man, but he was God-man. He was a son of God during that whole time that he was a son of man. But the word of God doesn't change either, as we saw in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read that, and in Psalms chapter 12, if you turn over there, the Bible says this, and I know I'm turning you back and forth, but I'm going to do that tonight. Just stay with me. In Psalms chapter 12, the Bible says about the word of God, the written word. In verse number 6, it says, the words of the Lord are what? Pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, and thou shalt what? Preserve them from where? This generation forever. Listen, the word of God's going to be around. It's always going to be there. The word of God is eternal. It's forever settled. It's spoken, and it shall be. And therefore, God, he has a way of preserving. Man did not preserve the Bible. God preserved the Bible. God has a way of preserving his word. Now look on, if you would. Also notice, the Bible says the word was God. Notice, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says, for he hath made him, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, how many of you know that Jesus was without sin? He did not make one mistake, one error. He was without sin. He was infallible. And by the way, let me tell you something, in case you ever get caught up in it. When you look at the Pope and you honor the Pope as some authentic religious figure, you need to understand what he claims to be. He claims to be the vicar, and the vicar means he's a substitute for Jesus. They claim that he's infallible, that he has the same attributes as Jesus, which is a lie out of hell. And so therefore, what you need to understand is there's only one that lived on this earth that was without sin. That's Jesus. But also you need to understand something about the Word. The Word of God is pure. It's without error. Notice, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We could go to a lot of verses, but I'm not going to go to all that many verses. I just want to pull one or two out here or there to show my point. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by what? The inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now notice the Bible, Scripture is given by inspiration. God inspired the men what to write. Peter says that there were men of old, holy men that God used, and he inspired them, and he put upon their heart what to write, and he inspired them to write the word of God and to preserve the word of God and to give it to us. And so the word of God was given to us, and it is without error. Notice, if you would, it was given by inspiration of God. And we could go to several places in the Bible that tells you that there is no error. It's pure, and it's purified, a word of God. Not only that, but it is also authority. Remember when Jesus would speak in Mark several times, they said, man, this guy speaks with authority. When Jesus said something, he was the authority on it. Why couldn't they trap him up? And why couldn't all the religious figures ever catch him in something? And lawyers and all the scribes and Pharisees and all that group? Because he was the authority. He knew everything. He knew about everything. Now let me tell you something else. This book is the authority. Every subject that it talks about, It is the authority. Somebody said, well, times of changing. I heard them doing a debate several years ago when Dr. Spock was talking about spanking children and how times had changed and it wasn't to spank children and you would do psychological harm to them if you did and all this kind of stuff. This book here is still the authority. You won't know what God thinks about something? This will tell you. You won't know how God wants you to act in a situation? This will tell you. You don't know what God's got planned? This will tell you. You know what God thinks about certain things? This will tell you. Now, notice if you would, in the written word of God, look if you would in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says, for it had been better for them not to know the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Now, what kind of commandment was it? Holy. It's pure. All this word of God that we have is pure. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. The written word of God is without error. It is the authority that tells us how to behave and what to do. And how to do it. You say, well, preacher, I know, but I'm going to do it my way. Well, let me tell you this. I can guarantee you one thing. If the Bible teaches one way and you do it your way and it's different, you're doing it the wrong way. And you'll not gain the blessings of that you would receive by doing it the right way. Look, if you would, in verse 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scripture of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. In other words, we need to understand that these scriptures were given to us for that purpose. And let me also say that scripture is essential. Just like Jesus is essential, the Bible says that he is the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. What does it mean? It means that if you're going to get saved, you've got to come to him and through him. Now let me say this. There is a great challenge in today's society to be religiously, politically correct. And it is to adopt everybody's viewpoint and let everybody say your viewpoint is as important as mine. But when we preach the word of God, I can emphatically say, if you follow the Muslim religion and you believe the Muslim religion, you'll die and go to hell. You know why I do that? Because they don't come through Jesus. And I could tell you many other religions today, and I can tell you if you follow that religion, you'll die and go to hell because it's a false religion because it doesn't go through Jesus. Jesus is necessary. He is to have preeminence. He is necessary. If anyone comes to God, they got to come through Jesus. The word of Jesus is essential. Somebody said, well, preacher, we've kind of changed the gospel. You can't change the gospel. You got to preach the same Jesus. Oh, are they preaching another Jesus? Absolutely. Everywhere across the land, they're preaching another Jesus. But there's only one Jesus that can save. And that's the Son of God. Amen? But not only is Jesus essential, look if you would in Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10, since I got you in Romans. Look, if you would, in verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? Now I could go on and on and on, and we just read one in Peter, where you were born by the word of God, the uncorruptible word of God. I want you to understand, the word of God is essential. If you're going to be saved, you have to have the word of God. Therefore, you better value the word of God. If you're going to make it to heaven, you got to make it through the word of God. The Holy Spirit of God uses the word. The Bible says that the word is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That word quick means it's alive. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit uses the word. The word comes out there and he uses that to condemn you when you're lost and undone and show you're a sinner, and he draws you to come to him. And you must respond to the preaching of the word. And the Spirit of God will use that word to draw you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, listen, there is a great pressure today to grow crowds and get away from preaching in Wednesday night and Sunday night services and go out here and play games. Playing games and some little devotion don't get the job done. The word of God is essential. You young people, you need to be under the word of God. You need to hear the word of God. When you open your eyes in hell and you're crying out in pain and you're there forever, it's too late to come back and change that. Today, if you hear his word, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You better thank God that somebody cared enough to get you to a place that you could hear the preaching of the word of God. The word of God is essential. Somebody said, "Well, would you like to be able to have a service where everybody just enjoyed yourself?" The word of God is essential. It needs to be preached. You need to hear it. Somebody said, "Oh, he preaches 45 minutes." Well, thank God somebody still preaches. You better be thankful that somebody cares enough for you to preach. It'd be a whole lot easier to just sit there and sing songs all day long. But preaching is essential. And each of you has to have the word. And if you ignore the word, you're damned. Just like if you ignore Jesus, you're damned. You've got to come through the word, and the word is Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Look on if you would. Not only that, but it gives life. Just as the Bible tells us that in Jesus was life, and he was a light of men. Look if you would in John chapter number 5. Notice if you would verse 39, talking about the written word. It says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have what? And they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have what? My friend, life rests within the word. It rests within Jesus. He is the truth to life. And you've got to understand the word gives you life. Through the word of God, searching the scriptures is where we find life through Jesus Christ. Not only that, it also illuminates us. It gives us light. The Bible's, look if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter number, or 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 4, whom the God of this world, talking about the devil, hath blinded the minds of them that what? Believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How does that light shine? Through the word of God. It shows light, and it shows light upon Jesus, and it preaches the gospel. And so it's important. And the devil does his best to try to destroy the word of God. Not only that, but also understand the depths. Look back if you would in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Somebody said, "Well, old so-and-so, he's not saved, but he knows the Bible as well as any man I've ever seen." That's a lie. He might can quote verses, and he might say a few things he's heard and so forth. But notice what the Bible says in verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But as it is written, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither in the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. For God hath revealed them unto us by his what? Spirit. We get his spirit when we're born again. For the spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but what? The spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. An unsaved person cannot understand the Bible. The Word of God is too deep, too grounded, and they will never understand the depths of this. And even when you get saved, you say, well, I still, but the Spirit of God begins to reveal things to you and show you truths. And you begin to understand things, things that the world laughs at and they mock at. Right now on TV, you go on TV and you preach this message and the world would be full of scorn coming after you. They would mock you. You stand up and you say, this is the Word of God and every man must believe it to be saved. You say that, and I'll tell you what, people on TV would mock you and they would throw all kinds of scorn at you. But it doesn't change the fact. Because just as Jesus was rejected, look if you would in Hebrews chapter 3. Look in Hebrews chapter 3. Look if you would in verse number 15. The Bible says, why is it said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In other words, what God wants you to understand is you need to be very careful about rejecting the word. Somebody said, how do I know when I need to be saved? Now, you young people, especially if you're here not saved, I want you to listen to me just a minute. How do you know when to be saved? I have parents come to me all the time and say, well, little Johnny been asking questions about heaven or hell. Well, that's good. And they say, why don't you talk to him? Well, I can talk to him. But I could go back here and I could take any of these kids and bring them up to the altar. I said, now say this after me. And they would say it. I could say, pray this prayer after me, and they would pray it. But this is what happens. When you get to the point of being saved and it's time to be saved, the Word of God comes to you and the Holy Ghost of God takes that word and it's just like he's speaking to you personally. And he begins to show you the fact that you're lost. And if you died, you knew that you would be a sinner standing before a holy God. And you come to the realization that this message that we preach gives you hope through Jesus Christ, and he's your only hope. The Son of God that took your place upon the cross of Calvary. And you are to come to him. And you'll feel the Holy Ghost of God begin to draw you to come. He'll begin to let you know it's time that you come. And then you have to make a choice. You can either accept the Word of God or you can reject the Word of God. But my friend, it's a dangerous thing when you reject the Word of God. The Word of God is your only hope. But just as they rejected Jesus, there's thousands upon thousands rejecting his word today. They have no place for his word. But one day in hell, they wish that they would listen. They wish that somebody would go back and preach to their loved ones that's on the other side, that's living on, and that they would not come to this terrible place of torment, but it'll be too late. That's why in church, I get after you sometimes. That's why you young people, if I see you talking, I'll call you down. It's not that I want to embarrass you. It's that I want you to learn to respect the Word of God. The Word of God is what saves souls. And so it's important. And just as I ask you the question, how would you behave if Jesus was sitting right beside of you? Well, some of the same attributes that Jesus had was given to the same Word of God. Let me show you one more. I'm going to close. Look if you would. I've quoted this since we're in Hebrews. Just look in chapter 4. Look if you would in verse number 12. How many of you believe Jesus is alive today? Well, look here. For the word of God is quick. That word quick means it's alive. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, listen. The Bible says in verse 13 that there's not any creature that's not manifest in his sight. In other words, now listen to me. Pay attention to me. The Word of God, what happens is this. It goes out to you and it deals with you. And when the Word of God begins to deal with you and convict you, it's just like that preacher knows everything that you're doing. It's just like he's preaching to you and nobody else in the whole room, and he's talking right at you, and you feel guilty because that word is just coming and cut, and it got to deep places, and it's telling you and revealing things that you thought nobody knew, and yet here the word is revealing these things to you. And the Holy Spirit of God has made you feel like you're just wide open and everybody's looking at you and knows all about you. And he draws you to come. That's when you come. You can mock, you can laugh, you can reject. But one day, your greatest regret will be not understanding that the word, the Bible that you have right there, is life. It's alive. It speaks. And it can cut you and it can tell you things because it comes right at you. I have people tell me all the time, "Preacher, you preach that right at me." And I've never preached that to a person yet since I've been preaching. But what it was the live word of God went and spoke to them. Now I might preach this message and there might be 50 or 60 people here, and every one of you hear a different message tonight. The reason why the word can do that is because it's alive. And it deals with you with the area that you need dealt with, not the person sitting beside of you, the area they need dealt with. Sometimes I have people say, "Well, I hope so-and-so was listening. That was right for them." My thoughts on that is this: did you get what God wanted you to hear out of it? Because it's alive to you too. Now maybe you're here tonight. Maybe God's dealing your heart about being saved. You need to come. You feel the Spirit of God dealing with you to come, you need to come. Listen, getting saved is something that's strictly between you and God. You have to make that decision. Nobody can make that decision for you. And maybe you're here and something else is in that life that God's dealing with. You need to come. Would you come as we stand? Would you mind coming and play a little song, Caleb, some kind?